Jason Bourne should be dead by now. Instead, at 50 years old, former government assassin David Webb finds himself creeping through Virginia woods, his academic persona dissolving with each silent step. The predator within him, Jason Bourne, is taking control once again. This internal struggle forms the psychological backbone of the Bourne ultimatum, creating a portrait of a man at war with himself. Webb is a gentle academic who wants nothing more than to live quietly with his family. Bourne is a ruthless killer created years ago to hunt down Carlos the Jackal. These two personas exist in perpetual conflict within one mind. In the final analysis, it's Carlos against Bourne, Webb tells his handler Alex Conklin. We're back where we were 13 years ago. This pattern repeats with devastating regularity. A threat emerges, Webb resists the change, but ultimately Bourne breaks through, bringing with him deadly skills and dark memories. When Webb allows Bourne to take control, his entire demeanor transforms. His eyes become unfocused, yet somehow more alert. His voice turns cold, his movements become predatory. The central question haunts every page. Can a man who has done terrible things truly leave that part of himself behind? The game begins with masterful manipulation. Alexander Conklin and Dr. Morris Panov receive identical telegrams supposedly from Jason Bourne, summoning them to a crowded Baltimore amusement park. As they arrive, a nearby woman is shot in the throat, a calculated move by Carlos the Jackal, who has hunted the man who nearly killed him for years. Rather than attacking Webb directly, Carlos targets those who know his secrets. By eliminating Webb's support network, Carlos isolates his prey before striking. This strategy forces Webb into an impossible choice: remain David Webb and flee with his family, or become Jason Bourne again to hunt down Carlos. I can't spend my life looking over my shoulder, Webb tells Conklin. I can't let Marie spend her life wondering when someone might come after the children. This dilemma drives Webb's transformation back into Bourne, not just for self-preservation, but to protect his loved ones. The amusement park ambush is merely the opening move in an elaborate chess match between two master strategists. Bourne's investigation into Carlos reveals a shocking connection to his past, Medusa, a covert Vietnam-era military unit operating without official oversight. This unsanctioned battalion gathered intelligence through brutal methods, including systematic killings of Viet Cong sympathizers and money laundering operations. Former Medusa members now occupy positions of immense power. The Pentagon Procurements General, FTC Chairman, NATO Supreme Commander, and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs all bear the distinctive Medusa tattoo, having become global power brokers manipulating international systems for profit. They were killers and thieves, the original death squads, Conklin explains. But damn it, they provided more actionable intelligence than all other units combined. This moral ambiguity challenges simplistic notions of heroism and raises uncomfortable questions about national security. Today's Medusa operates with corporate efficiency, destroying economies for profit while maintaining respectability through charitable foundations. The connection between Carlos and Medusa creates a web spanning decades, suggesting present dangers were seeded in Vietnam. The hunt spans multiple continents, each location a distinct battlefield between Bourne and Carlos. Montserrat initially serves as a sanctuary at Tranquility Inn until Carlos's agents arrive, an elderly couple with the husband wearing a Legion d'Honneur medal, proving nowhere is beyond the Jackal's reach. Paris becomes the central battleground, fitting given its significance in their history. Here, Bourne infiltrates Le Coeur de Soldat, a hidden bistro serving as Carlos's message center, establishing contact with Santos, the massive bartender who acts as Carlos's conduit. The hunt culminates in Moscow, where Carlos has fled under pressure. The Soviet capital's imposing architecture and surveillance create additional obstacles as their deadly game concludes. Each location shift intensifies the psychological cat and mouse game, revealing different aspects of both men. Carlos's patient planning in Montserrat, Bourne's improvisation in Paris, and both men's desperate final gambits in Moscow. Throughout his journey, Bourne relies on allies whose loyalty is tested by danger, revealing stark differences in how David Webb and Jason Bourne form connections. Alexander Conklin once tried to kill Bourne, believing he'd gone rogue, now protects Webb out of guilt and affection. Their relationship embodies intelligence work's moral ambiguity, professionals who might be ordered to eliminate each other with deep regrets. Morris Panoff, Webb's psychiatrist, understands the Webb-Bourne duality better than anyone. When captured and drugged, he resists revealing information about Webb even under extreme duress. Marie flies to Paris despite the danger, knowing that while Bourne might survive alone, David Webb needs her to maintain his humanity. "I'm not here to save your life," she tells him. "I'm here to save your mind." Dmitry Krupkin, a Soviet intelligence officer, becomes an unlikely ally. When ordered to execute Bourne, he refuses, citing the Nuremberg principle that obscene commands should not be obeyed, a moral stand that costs him everything. Carlos begins as a phantom, unseen but omnipresent, his influence felt through his network. As the story progresses, we witness his unraveling from calculated mastermind into an unstable killer consumed by vengeance. The Jackal's obsession with destroying Bourne stems from previous encounters where Bourne saw his face and killed his lover. For an assassin whose power derives from anonymity, being identified is an existential threat. Physical deterioration accompanies Carlos's psychological decline. His hollow cough confirms rumors of illness, adding urgency to his vendetta. He must eliminate Bourne before disease claims him. As pressure mounts, Carlos's methods grow erratic. When his traps fail, he abandons subtlety for direct confrontation. He massacres Soviet officials who question his authority, screaming, "Traitors! Filth! Garbage!" This descent culminates at Novgorod, where Carlos reveals his ultimate goal, not just to kill Bourne, but to destroy the Soviet training facility, exposing the narcissism driving his actions. The climactic showdown at Novgorod carries symbolic weight. The place that created the Jackal will witness his destruction. For Carlos, a perverse homecoming. For Bourne, the final battleground in a war consuming half his life. Carlos's murder of Enrica for his uniform reveals complete moral emptiness, contrasting with Bourne's earlier choice to tranquilize a guard dog. Carlos dies trapped in a flooding tunnel, engineered by Benjamin. As Bourne watches Carlos's corpse crash against steel bars, dark features twisted in hate, eyes like glass orbs reviling death, we see both Jason Bourne's satisfaction and David Webb's relief at being freed from a loathsome burden. Though Carlos is dead, violence still haunts Webb. On a moonlit beach with Marie, he admits to carrying a gun as a reflex. When footsteps approach, Webb instantly transforms into Bourne, spinning around, pushing Marie away, crouching with weapon drawn. When Morris Panoff declares Jason Bourne is dead, cremated in Moscow, Webb must confront his dependence on the Bourne identity as a shield. The ultimate battle was never just between Bourne and Carlos, but within Webb himself, the struggle to integrate his divided self.